Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. The newly elected Vice Chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Block Committee says the government needs to start treating this issue like the humanitarian crisis it is. A former priest court hearing on child sex charges has been delayed because of paperwork issues. A Buncrana councillor has condemned the dumping of up to 20 nappies in the Stragill River near the town's beach earlier this week. And a new bishop has been appointed to the Derry Diocese. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we will have a full update of all the sport with Oisin Kelly at around a quarter to six. But first, the newly elected Vice Chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Blocks Committee says the government needs to start treating this issue like the humanitarian crisis it is. Councillor Joy Beard was elected to the position today, with Sinn Féin Councillor Jerry McMonagall the new chair, after defeating Councillor Beard's 100% redress colleague Councillor Thomas Sean Devine by 9-5. Councillor Beard told the meeting she hears on a daily basis from people whose physical and mental health is being compromised, and she fears there will be a tragedy sooner rather than later.
I told today and here in the meeting about a lady that practically paints the walls with bleach and then sleeps in that room. I don't know what to tell her. Is the bleach worse or is the toxic mould spores worse for her to sleep in that room? And that's a social house that we have here, and we don't have a social housing remediation scheme.
And the perception is that what's being discussed in Dublin is numbers, it's strategies, it's politics. What's not being discussed in Dublin is the bleach.
You wouldn't be able to sleep, don't know, with some of the stories that I hear from people and the situations that they're living in. Living in fear, constant fear. Some living in one room. I met a lady yesterday. She's an elderly lady with a disabled daughter, and she is terrified that the gable is about to come down in the house. Testing now is 6-9 months, you know, on the scheme. You know, she's not going to get anything done for another year. She's facing another winter in that home. This is the lived reality, and this is what the government need to see, but there's no urgency. We're far enough away from Dublin, as far as I can tell, to concern them, but when a tragedy happens, they'll be first here knocking on the doors in Donegal to pay their sympathies. We need to get solutions in place to get these people. Temporary modular homes was mentioned there again. They've denied that every step of the way so far. We cannot do a social housing remediation scheme without having temporary accommodation for the families to go into. It simply will not work. So they need to know that. They need to hear these real life lived stories, because this is what is happening in Donegal, sadly. It's a humanitarian crisis, and it now needs to be dealt with as a humanitarian crisis.
A new bishop has been appointed to lead the Diocese of Derry. Bishop Michael Reuter has been named as the successor to outgoing Bishop Donal McKeown. Pope Leo XIV has nominated Bishop Reuter, who will move from his current role as Auxiliary Bishop of Armagh, to take up the position in Derry. Bishop McKeown will remain as Apostolic Administrator of Derry until Bishop Reuter is formally installed at a ceremony in September. The announcement was made at St Eugene's Cathedral in Derry this morning, where Bishop McKeown thanked the diocese.
In a world of poor political leaders, Pope Leo is offering a clear message that puts the common good at the centre of the agenda. And in a world of huge egos and fragile role models, he proclaims human dignity and service. So as I prepare to lay down my responsibility as Bishop of Derry after 12 wonderful years, I say to you, Cead Míle Fáilte, as we say in the Mass as Gaeilge, Is Banaya Anche Atachacht and Alaman Chirna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The diocesan church that is in Derry is waiting for your leadership. Today I thank God for your willingness to respond positively to the Lord's call. Bishop Michael, as you prepare to walk among us and walk with us over in a number of weeks' time, all I can say is Baal O'Ye Erinobur, Er Dehihir in our mask. May God bless you and your work among us.
Bishop Michael Reuter is originally from County Cavan, but says his love of sport will help him settle into life in the northwest. The incoming Bishop of Derry says he hopes to support the diocese by being a listening ear to parishioners, helping to strengthen faith and reconnect with those who may have drifted away.
As your bishop, I will minister among you, not as someone who has all the answers, but with a willingness to listen, especially to those who become distant from the church, those who feel hurt or disappointed, and those who continue to search for meaning. Our task is to find common ground and a way to walk together with confidence in the power of Jesus Christ working through each one of us.
A Buncrana councillor has condemned the dumping of up to 20 nappies in the Strigil River near the town's beach earlier this week. Councillor Fionnan Bradley says the incident poses an environmental risk and is particularly disappointing at one of the busiest times of the year for the area. He says illegal dumping like this also places unnecessary pressure on the council's resources.
Between 15 and 20 nappies can be seen in the video that was sent to me, dumped into the river there at Strigil on the way down to Strigil Beach. This didn't happen accidentally. They didn't fall into the river. It wasn't that they were washed, you know, downstream from somewhere else. To me, from the video, it's very clear that somebody actually went to the bother of taking that volume of dirty nappies to that area. There are serious environmental concerns involved with that. But there's also a cost, an actual financial cost to the council to have to clean that up. It diverts money and it diverts human resources away from other jobs that could be done in this good weather and what is already the busiest period for the council.
When this is cleaned up, it's not just a matter of someone putting on a pair of rubber gloves and scooping them out. There's going to be protocols have to be followed here because of the potential contamination, because of the potential danger.
Absolutely, and I mean, there was no regard for the staff that are going to have to be involved in this cleanup operation. I mean, it's especially in this warm weather, it would be a hateful job at any time of the year, but at this particular time of the year, it's going to be particularly nasty. So, yeah, as you say, it's not just a sample case of going with a pair of rubber gloves and a shovel. The staff will have to be very careful and very mindful of the flora and fauna there and ensure that all that waste is removed from that waterway.
A former priest's court hearing on child sex charges has been delayed because of a paperwork issue. 59-year-old Edward Gallagher of Orchard Park in Lifford was due to appear before Derry Magistrates Court today for a preliminary inquiry ahead of a possible Crown Court trial. However, the hearing could not proceed after the court was told the necessary papers were unavailable. Gallagher faces a number of charges, including attempted sexual communication with a child, inciting a child to engage in sexual activity, and possessing indecent images of children. He was remanded into custody. The case will be adjourned until July the 23rd. The father of Leona Harper, a teenager who died in the Creasley tragedy, says a public inquiry could help prevent further loss of life while the criminal investigation continues. Hugh Harper was speaking on this morning's Greg Hughes show following confirmation that the affected families will meet with the Taoiseach at the end of the month. In June, families impacted by the tragedy travelled to Leinster House to share their experiences with TDs and senators. Hugh says a public inquiry would be about more than seeking justice for his own family.
What a lot of people don't know, when you read through the fine print, that in that piece of legislation that's been brought forward, or the amendment to that legislation, there's a grandfather clause included in that. And for me and for my family and for other families, that's an insult into the deaths of the 10 people killed within the tragedy of Creasley. To allow gas systems to run unregulated, unlicensed, without legislation, after the tragic scenes within Creasley that killed our daughter Leona and 9 others, 3 of them children, you have to start asking questions. Have the government learned from this?
Donegal County Council is to write once again to the Transport Minister, Dara O'Brien, seeking a meeting to discuss the need to advance major road projects in Letterkenny, particularly the Southern Relief Road. Councillor Jeremy McMonagall says the Minister needs to be reminded of the urgency of these works, particularly as Letterkenny is an area of economic regional development. There was disagreement in the Chamber of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District when Councillor Kieran Brogan said much of the blame for the current congestion lies with the active travel programme, a claim denied by Councillor McMonagall. Councillor McMonagall told the meeting that experience over the past number of days has once again laid bare the chronic traffic issues the town faces on a daily basis, and an urgent meeting is required.
I believe that the travel problems in Letterkenny is a number of aspects. The public transport bus would be helpful. The active travel will be helpful in the time ahead. The road, the Southern Relief Road, the Northern Relief Road, and of course the 10T. It's not one thing that's going to fix all, but it's a multiple of initiatives that will address it. The active travel, now I can understand people's frustration because that's what they see, but you know and I know we've had traffic congestion in Letterkenny going back 20 years. And we've tried over the years to do everything to try and alleviate it and sort it out. But what we haven't done is built new roads and better access in and out of the town. And that's what we need to do. That's what's missing. Active travel is seen there now because the barriers are up, the work is ongoing. But active travel is proof, it's future-proofing travel in Letterkenny Town for the people who live in Letterkenny Town, and that's our children, our grandchildren, the elderly and people with disabilities. This is a nightmare at the minute for people in that genre to get about this town, but we can't forget them, and we have to get away from being a car-dominated town. And unfortunately, we need more roads to help with that, but we also need active travelways, whether safe footpaths, safe cycling paths, and safe crossing points for everybody in the town.
Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy today, with high numbers of people attending the emergency department who need to be admitted to hospital. Figures from the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation showed Letterkenny University Hospital had 41 patients awaiting a bed this morning, the third highest figure in the state. In a statement, the hospital say that due to the ongoing pressures and the lack of bed capacity, some elective surgeries are being reviewed, with a possibility that some will be deferred. However, some urgent and time-sensitive procedures are being prioritised. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Management at the hospital say that yesterday, 173 people attended the emergency department, with 13 patients on trolleys in the ED awaiting admission this morning. All escalation and surge areas are at capacity. They say the hospital is implementing all possible measures to improve patient flow and reduce delays in the emergency department. Management is asking the public to consider all available healthcare options before attending, including GP surgeries, out-of-hours GP services and community pharmacies. They say everyone who presents will be treated, but priority is being given to those who are seriously ill or injured, and patients who do not require urgent care may experience longer waiting times. More details and the statement in full on our website, highlandradio.com.
Today marks 20 years since the attack that left Derryman Paul McCauley with life-changing and ultimately life-ending injuries, and his father says he is still waiting for answers. Paul was 29 when he was seriously assaulted at a barbecue on Chapel Road in Derry in 2006. He died in 2015 after spending years in a persistent vegetative state. Two men were jailed in 2018 for his killing, but it's believed others involved have never faced justice. Speaking to the BBC, Paul's father, Jim McCauley, asked for anyone with information to come forward.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 here in Highland Radio, and it's time to go over to the sports desk and say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Ryan. The proposed takeover at Finnharps Football Club has been delayed by a number of weeks. Shareholders have been notified the vote to change the club from a cooperative society to a private limited company will not take place at this Sunday's special general meeting. The meeting will still go ahead as planned, however, but will instead be used as a fully informative evening around the conversion process that requires change to its administration and legal structure. The change is needed ahead of a potential takeover by Filipino businessman Freddy Gonzalez. The biggest single step is reducing the current members of 2,000 to the private limited company limit of 149. The large majority of Harp shareholders will need to transfer their shares to a trusted nominee before the club can convert. Up-to-date contact details and signatures for every shareholder is also needed to move forward. Full details on what the club call the wider process is available on the Finnharps website. Original shareholders and family members are asked to contact the secretary at finnharps.ie. Now moving to European football, Derry City will have to come from a goal down to reach the second qualifying round of the Europa League tonight. The County Stripes trail CSK Sofia 3-2 ahead of this evening's second leg at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, which starts at 6:30. Brandon Fleming and Adam O'Reilly are back for Derry tonight. Here's Highlands Derry City correspondent Martin Holmes.
Derry City still have a lot to play for. They're playing against a team who have got many internationals from different countries in their team, people who have won league titles in major European leagues. It's a very experienced club, well known throughout European football. So to come back from there 3-2 down, especially given the problems that they've had with the squad being down to the bare bones, and they've had to bring in new players and guys with a handful of training sessions playing in that game. So they need to go into the game with a mindset that they can't concede, and they need to score two goals to get through. On the flip side, CSK will be thinking, let's just turn up, don't let any goals in and we're through.
Kick-off time to that game this evening is at 6:30, and indeed we'll be crossing to Martin Holmes at the Brandywell on the Score programme tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the programme, former Harps captain Declan Boyle will join us to look ahead to the clash of Finn Harps with Bray Wanderers in the FAI Cup and talk about things happening around the showgrounds at Sligo Rovers. Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News runs his eye over the Donegal All-County League finals for this weekend, and we preview the divisional final for the American Footballers of the North West Vipers. It's all on a Busy Score programme coming up just after the 7 o'clock news. Now, just back to the European club games this evening in the Conference League qualifiers. St. Joseph are hosting Bohemians. That game kicked off at 5 o'clock. Bohemians, of course, going into the tie there, leading by 2-0. It's currently half-time, and there's nothing there to report at the moment. It is 0-0 in Gibraltar. Glentoran are also in action, and they're taking on RFS in Latvia. Now, the Glens were 2-1 down going into the game, and as things stand with 18 minutes on the clock, RFS are leading in the tie by 1-0, so that means on aggregate now they are 3-1 up. And at 7:45 tonight, Linfield host Nam Kalju of Estonia. The Belfast side are 1-0 down in that game. So was the big headlines from the World Cup today. Is Thomas Tuchel is insisting he's going to stay on as England manager despite crashing out of the competition last night. He says he'll stay until his contract expires at the end of Euro 28. He has been heavily criticised for his tactics during the 2-1 defeat to Argentina in the semi-final last night. Let's go to golf. It's day one of the 154th Open Championship. It's very warm, it's very sunny, and it's adding to the excitement on day one of the competition. Let's get the latest now in the leaders. Here's Dennis Kirwan.
On a sun-scorched and breezy Royal Birkdale Links, South Korea's Sung Jae-im and Englishman Daniel Brown are setting the early pace. Both shot 4-under par, opening rounds of 66 on this tough par 70 layout. There's a group of six players, one off the lead after rounds of 67. They include Bryson DeChambeau, Robert McIntyre, Francesco Molinari and Ryan Gerrard. World number one Scottie Scheffler sits on 2-under after a round of 68. Shane Lowry is level par through 8 holes, while Rory McIlroy is now 2-over through 7. Tom McKibben had a 71, David Harrod a 74, and Stuart Grehan is 6-over playing the last. And Padraig Harrington's finding the going tough. He's 7-over par through 13 holes. At the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, I'm Dennis Kirwan.
Highlands Golf coverage is with Halpenny Golf, top brands, best prices. Now to racing. Dylan Brian McMonagall has brought his win total this week to 7, with a double so far this evening at Leopardstown. He won the 520 race, on 1-3 shot, State of Star, and then he followed that up with victory again in the 1640, which is the 20-5 race on Ballyskia at 7-4. So a double already. He's still got a number of rides left today, and he could be adding to that before the evening's out. He also had winners over the past few days in Killarney, Longchamp in France and Dundalk. In cricket, the Northwest Warriors have just taken victory in their final group match in the one-day Interprovincial Cup against the Northern Knights at Eglinton. The Warriors batted first end of the day on 277 for the loss of 7. The Knights responded with 150 on the board, but they were all out, so it meant the Warriors took victory by 127 runs and now have a Interprovincial one-day cup final to look forward to. Well, that's it from the sports desk for the moment. Don't forget the scores on the way just after the 7 o'clock news, Ryan.
Thank you very much, Oisin. And the weather warm and largely dry across the region, with plenty of sunshine this evening, with the odd isolated shower in light northeast or variable breezes. Tonight will be dry with clear spells and possibly some patches of mist and fog. Lowest temperatures of 12 to 16 degrees and light to moderate northerly winds. Tomorrow will be dry with light to moderate northerly breezes. Sunny spells for most, but there will be a bit more cloud in the northwest. It will be a bit cooler with highest temperatures of 16 to 20 in Donegal and 21 to 24 for the rest of the region. A look back at today's main stories. The newly elected vice chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Blocks Committee says the government needs to start treating this issue like the humanitarian crisis it is. Councillor Joy Beard was elected to the position today, with Sinn Féin Councillor Jerry McMonagall the new chair, after defeating Councillor Beard's 100% redress colleague Councillor Thomas Sean Devine by 9-5. Councillor Beard told the meeting she hears on a daily basis from people whose physical and mental health is being compromised, and she fears that there will be a tragedy sooner rather than later. A new bishop has been appointed to lead the Diocese of Derry. Bishop Michael Reuter has been named as the successor to outgoing Bishop Donal McKeown. Pope Leo XIV has nominated Bishop Reuter, who will move from his current position as Auxiliary Bishop of Armagh, to take up the position in Derry. Bishop McKeown will remain as Apostolic Administrator of Derry until Bishop Reuter is formally installed at a ceremony in September. November. The announcement was made at St Union's Cathedral this morning, St Eugene's Cathedral this morning in Derry, where Bishop McEwen thanked the diocese for the last 12 years. Bishop Michael Reuter is originally from County Cavan, but says his love of sport will help him settle into life in the Northwest. The incoming bishop says he hopes to support the diocese by being a listening ear for parishioners, helping to strengthen faith and reconnect with those who may have drifted away. A Buncrana councillor has condemned the dumping of up to 20 nappies in the Strigil River near the town's beach earlier this week. Councillor Fionnan Bradley says the incident poses an environmental risk and is particularly disappointing at one of the busiest times of the year for the area. He says illegal dumping like this also places unnecessary pressures on the council's resources. And a former priest's court hearing on child sex offences has been delayed because of a paperwork issue. 59-year-old Edward Gallagher of Orchard Park in Lifford was due to appear before Derry Magistrates Court today for a preliminary inquiry ahead of a possible Crown Court trial. However, the hearing could not proceed after the court was told the necessary papers were unavailable. Gallagher faces a number of charges, including attempted sexual communication with a child, inciting a child to engage in sexual activity, and possessing indecent images of children. He was remanded into custody. The case has been adjourned until July the 23rd. And that's all for the newsroom for now. Farming news and views with Chris Ashmore will follow this evening's obituary notices. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 16th of July. The death has taken place of Rosamond McHugh, 41, Marion Park, Buncrana, reposing at her residence tomorrow morning from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:30, going to St Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. Family flowers, only pleas, donations in lieu if desired to Buncrana Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or McLaughlin and McLaughlin funeral directors. The funeral service can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Eileen Elliott, née Bonner, College Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Burton Port. Eileen's remains will repose at her home tomorrow from 1 p.m. until 8 p.m. strictly private at all other times, please, and on the morning of the funeral. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, with interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Cancer Society or the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Kitty Call, née Sweeney, Mullindrate, Stranorner, reposing at her home today from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Rosary both nights at 9. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorner. Interment in St Patrick's Churchyard, Crossroads. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to St Joseph's Community Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Fulton Johnson, Gort McCall, Milford, reposing at his home, which is private, please, at the request of the deceased. Funeral tomorrow, with service at the graveside in Milford Presbyterian Cemetery at 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital or Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by K&F Superwools Kilmacrennan. Paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. First up, the countdown is on to the Inishowen Agricultural Show, which takes place in Carndonagh this Saturday. This is the 112th staging of this hugely popular show, and gates will open from 9 o'clock. As well as home industries and livestock judging, there's numerous attractions ranging from a kids' tractor run, pet show, dog show, tug-of-war, jiving competition and lots more. There's also a nutrition talk from 10:30 and a live cooking demonstration from 11:30. Meanwhile, the Limavady show is also on this Saturday. The IFA is once again holding health checks around the country. And tomorrow, the venue in Donegal is the Donegal Livestock Mart in Donegal Town, where the checks will get underway from 10:30. The checks are being delivered in partnership with CREE, the Heart and Stroke Charity. Teresa Roach is the IFA Farm Family and Social Affairs Chair, and I spoke to her earlier today about this initiative, and she is encouraging Donegal farmers to go along and to avail of the opportunity.
Yes, it's our third year running our IFA Farmer Health Check Programme, and funded by the Department of Agriculture and provided by CREE. This is, I suppose, a really important initiative, which is delivered by our Farm Family Committee, which I'm the chairperson of, on behalf of the IFA organisation. And I suppose we're really, really proud of what we've been able to deliver. You know, we've had over 5,500 health checks done in the last 2 years. And again, this year we're going to be in 40 locations around the country, and we're going to be going to, I suppose the most important part of it is that we want to get to every farmer in County Donegal. We want to be able to show that we have a free service. It is a health check that is worth over €200 to every individual that comes. And it's all about giving access to healthcare to the most vulnerable sector, which is agriculture, farmers and men and women, and to bring the service into the community and to make life-changing decisions and also make life-saving decisions, as in providing and helping bring awareness around farmers' health and well-being, mental health and well-being, and also about giving people the opportunity for a referral into services. It could be anything from mental health to referral out to your GP, referral into district nurses, podiatry and counselling, and different structures that are needed. And everybody will be followed up that is needed to be followed up by our professional nurses from CREE. So it is a very professional service, which is also just as important in the community as it will be in a healthcare setting.
And for people who go along, how long typically will these checks take?
Generally about 20 to 30 minutes for a health check. What we do provide in the health check is a blood pressure check, a cholesterol, a BMI, a waist circumference check, a blood sugar as well. So that is also given an overall health assessment to the individual. It's also doing a mental health assessment, and it's an in-depth detailed assessment with the nurse. And it's also a little bit of documentation that we will be there to help and support you with. So if you forget your glasses or you need help with reading or writing, we are there to assist you. And it's really important indicator, you know, that is life-saving. We do know from our previous 2 years that we've been running these health checks that we've had more than 4.8%, which is equivalent to over 30 people, where they've need emergency services immediately, meaning that they needed either an ambulance or need to get to their GP immediately, or they need to get to a hospital emergency. And we do know from people who have presented with our health checks that they've gone on to have coronary bypasses, and they've gone on to have immediate admissions to hospitals. You know, for the people that were unaware that they've had pre-existing high blood pressure and could have had, you know, needed coronary artery stents or a bypass or something. So the whole point is most people go out of there quite well and are it's like, you know, it's like your tractor giving an MOT to your tractor. It's giving yourself to have that MOT for yourself, for your health and your well-being, because if you're mentally well, physically well and emotionally well, you're going to make better decisions on your farm, and you're going to make better financial decisions. You're going to be safer on your farms. And I suppose the most important thing about it all is, you know, many of us Irish farmers are living in rural isolated communities, and access to services is quite limited, particularly along the western seaboard and at northwest where you are as well in beautiful Donegal. And we do know that we have, especially for women's health as well, we're advocating this year's International Year of Women Farmers, and we want to advocate for women farmers and rural women to come out and avail of this free service too, because women's health has been underfunded, under-researched and under-diagnosed, and far farmers also, men and women, have the highest risk of cardiovascular disease. And we do know that through research. And we want to give people this tool to understand what their blood pressure, understand their numbers, and to give them the medical care that they do need. So it is an in-depth health check, but it's quick and accessible for nurses. And we're coming to the mark. So we're coming to you with the service for free. And it's a huge opportunity, because with many GPs not being... many GPs retiring and they haven't been able to be replaced. Many people are without GP appointments and are difficult to get in with long waiting lists. So we're able to give people that opportunity now in the community, and it is saving lives.
And do people need to register in advance, or can they just turn up tomorrow?
Turn up. As you said, Chris, open from 10 a.m. We'll be there from 9 a.m. setting up. But from 10 a.m. until about 3 p.m., we will be there with a free health check. You'll see the IFA signage, and you will also see the Cree logos as well. And we will be there from IFA membership to get people out on the ground. So we are really looking forward to getting you out and coming to support it.
And finally, it could indeed be a life-changing moment for some people. It could lead to a lifestyle change. So avail of the opportunity.
Yes, and also for farmers' mental health. Like, we really want to advocate for farmers' mental health. This was set up about making, giving free access to services, understanding services that are available in the community, and for farmers' mental health and well-being as well is so vital. And we are a very vulnerable sector, and we need to look after each other. So yes, it is hugely important to come out and avail of this service.
And that was Teresa Roach, IFA Farm Family and Social Affairs Chair. And just a reminder of that IFA Farmer Health Check taking place in the Donegal Livestock Mart tomorrow, just from after 10 o'clock. In other news, 7 companies around the country have been successful in getting funding approved under the Biomethane Capital Grant Scheme, including Glenmore Generation Limited outside Belbuffet, which is set to benefit to the tune of €840,000. Commenting on the grants, the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, said from an agricultural perspective, there are clear benefits to developing the biomethane sector in Ireland in terms of contributing to the delivery of renewable energy targets. He added that biomethane also represents a pathway for farmers to diversify income streams. He reiterated that he is keen to see the industry grow and as a result provide opportunities and benefits to the agricultural sector. Finally, some interesting figures have emerged this week. Grass growth is currently more than 10% ahead of the 5-year average. Meanwhile, agricultural greenhouse gas emissions fell slightly in 2025, down 0.2%. A 3.3% decline in cattle numbers reduced methane emissions. And Chagas's National Farm Survey found fewer farms classified as vulnerable, reflecting stronger farm incomes in 2025. 54% of farms were classed as economically viable in 2025, up from 43% the previous year. Dairy remained the strongest sector, with 91% of farms considered viable. Well, that's it for this week's Farming News and Views. Thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore. Goodbye.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by K&F Superwool's Kilmacrenan, paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.